Okay, I believe we're ready to get started. Without further ado, it's my privilege to introduce ECU Chancellor Dr. Steve Ballard.
I lost my entourage. I can't introduce our athletic director until he comes in. Just bear with us 30 seconds, sir. Come on in here, Coach Holland. Well, thank you all for being here. This is another great, exciting day for Pirate Athletics. I want to introduce somebody that everybody here knows, but before I do that, I want to say just a word. Athletics is moving forward in a great and steady fashion to be successful here at ECU. It's moving forward on all fronts. We're especially proud of the leadership team in athletics. It's making a huge difference, not only for athletics, but for the university. We have a dual vision at athletics here at ECU. One is to be great in our sports and to perform well and to carry on the vision in all sports that Keith LeClaire produced in baseball. But the other one is equally important, and it has to do with student success. We want our athletes not only to come here because they get great coaching and because they're part of a great performance, but because they know they'll be successful in the classroom. In the worst case, we hope that our athletes come here because they know that they'll be ready to be great leaders when they leave ECU. Coach Holland, we thank you for your leadership in this. That dual vision is becoming a reality day by day. Thank you for all that you do for ECU. Coach Holland.
Well, as all of you know, it takes a great head coach to have a great program, and here at East Carolina University, we've got a great head coach in Steve Ballard, who is running this place in a way that we can all be proud of and know that the future will bring a great deal of success. It is a great day to be a Pirate. It really is. The gentleman I'm going to introduce to you today reminds me a lot of East Carolina. You know, he's always sort of having to prove himself, and you probably noticed that I'm very partial to people and institutions that have to prove themselves. I think East Carolina has always been that way. People have always tried to tell East Carolina that you can't do things, that you can't be a university, that you can't build a medical school, that you can't do other things, that East Carolina has proven people to be wrong. Ricky Stokes falls into that same category. Because of his size, quite often he's been told by people, including me, unfortunately, that he could not play basketball at the ACC level, but we'd love to have him on our team. And of course, he proved me wrong there, and he continues to prove people wrong when they question his abilities. Ricky's family, I think, if you knew his mom and dad, you'd know why he's such a special person. And I've been fortunate enough to know the Stokes family for some time now. His dad just refuses to stop working. He's been working in public education for the Virginia Department of Education for almost 50 years now. His mother was a longtime teacher, an elementary school principal. His brother Bobby, who you'd think I'd learn, we recruited Bobby first, and because he was first in his class and just the kind of person you wanted on your team, I said, Bobby, you know, nobody your size, Bobby's 5'10". Nobody your size can play in the ACC anymore. This was back in the 70s. And of course, Bobby helped us win an ACC championship as a freshman and was a captain of our early teams that started to prove that Virginia could compete at the national level. Then we skipped a year without a Stokes. And then Ricky was a senior in high school. And he came to camp and everything, and he was even smaller. He says he's 5'8", but you'll see that he's not quite that tall. And so I went to see Ricky play in high school, really just because I hadn't been to see him play, and I liked the family. And as I watched him play, I said, this guy's pretty good. So we offered him a scholarship, even though we had two point guards. And I sat him down with Othell Wilson, and I said, guys, Jeff Jones is the starter. One of you guys is going to be the backup, and that means you're not going to play much, and the other guy is not going to play at all. Unless you guys can prove to me that conventional wisdom, which says two guys your size can't play in the ACC, well, they proved it to me pretty quickly. Both of them together got to play a lot of minutes at the same time. We used to have this great video of a game against Duke. I won't mention the player's name, but their point guard at the time, with Ricky and Ofel chasing him, he finally got to midcourt, and it looked like he just said, to heck with this, and just gave them the ball and let them lay it up at the other end. They were that kind of competitors, and Ricky certainly has continued that. He's been a part of several programs. He helped Jim Larrañaga get the Bowling Green program started, got a chance to see sort of the other side, the bus league of college basketball, Division I. They didn't travel by aircraft very often there. And then he had a chance to go with Dave Odom when Dave took the Wake Forest job and helped them build that program there. Then he had a chance to go with Rick Barnes as associate head coach down to Texas when Rick started the Texas program down there. He's been at Virginia Tech as a head coach, as you know. He was released there. And even as somebody who knows him as well as I do, I'm questioning, well, let's see, does this keep him from being a viable head coaching option? And as we looked at the record, Nick's actually the one that came up with this, the more we got into it. And yesterday, we really started to get serious. We knew the people who were interested in our job. We'd been able to contact people earlier and ask for permission to talk to various people, but we hadn't actually talked to anybody until yesterday. And we came back from that press conference, and Troy pointed out, said, last time you had a press conference, 2 days later, you announced a coach. Said, you're not going to do that to us again. So we couldn't wait till tomorrow, Troy. We had to do it today. So it was only one day, not 2 days again. But we started talking seriously about it, and Nick pointed out that Ricky's experience at Tech had a winning record that first year. Second year, went into the Big East. Tough situation. They won 8 games. The next year, they won 10. The next year, they won 12. If we assume that same progression, in the fourth year, they would have won 14. Not much of a stretch. And the next year, they would have won 16. And if you think about it, and not diminishing what Seth Greenberg has done, he's the ACC Coach of the Year, but with 15 wins this year, he's the ACC Coach of the Year. So again, it's not much of a stretch to think that that same thing could have happened, but it didn't happen. And Ricky went back to work with Dave Odom down at South Carolina. And I believe that we have in Ricky Stokes someone who will be a leader, not only for our basketball program, but for this community as well and the larger area. One of the things we said we wanted out of our coach was the ability to know that that coach has been recruiting in recent years the kinds of players that we're going to have to win championships here at East Carolina. There's no doubt that Ricky has been doing that. He does have head coaching experience. He laid a strong foundation at Virginia Tech. He also let us know through Dave Odom that he had a secret weapon, and that was his, that he already had an alliance with a gentleman who actually was on our list in the head coaching category. And that was a young man that he'll introduce to you in just a few minutes as well. This person actually had more NCAA appearances coaching in the Southern Conference than any coach in the Southern Conference history, and has a great deal of head coaching experience, will be joining Ricky as the associate head coach. Without further ado, I'd like you to welcome the new head coach of the East Carolina Pirates, Ricky Stokes.
Thank you very much. And the hat fits too. Thank you very much, Coach. Might be raining outside, but I'll tell you what, it is sunny to me. I'm just very, very excited to have the opportunity to be the head basketball coach at East Carolina. I had an opportunity, it's a pleasure to have an opportunity to meet Dr. Ballard, his wife. It's always a pleasure to a person who I respect greatly, and Coach Holland and his wife Ann. I just can't tell you what it means to me to have an opportunity to be a head coach again, but to have the opportunity to be here with somebody who I've learned a great deal and have so many positive experience in my lifetime. I think Coach shared one small story, and I'll tweak it a little bit. When he recruited me, he did say one of you would play a lot, and I think the other thing, one of you wouldn't play a lot. And when I first time we had an opportunity to play my freshman year, and we had some really good players, Ralph Sampson, Jeff Jones, and Othell Wilson was the other player that he recruited me with. And the first time we had a pickup game, I quickly realized, and I'm a pretty bright guy, I knew who would play a lot and who wouldn't. And I knew Othell would play a lot, and I knew I wouldn't. So quickly right then, I knew I had a decision to make. I could either just stew in it and not do anything, or I could leave and go somewhere else. And that moment right then, I decided I was going to fight. I was going to find a way. And that has been, I think, my calling card today, to find a way to get the job done. And luckily for me, lucky for Coach, he knew he saw something in me to have me to have the opportunity to play and still hold a record at 134 games. And I think that could be carried on to the Virginia Tech experience. And that has been a wonderful experience. I don't regret anything and welcome them from the experience at Virginia Tech. But, you know, after that experience, I had an opportunity to once again, you know, just go away or to regroup and come back and work hard. And that's what I've had an opportunity to do being at South Carolina. And let me have a lot of people to thank. Let me thank Dave Odom for Dave giving me the opportunity. We had a great 8-year run at Wake Forest. Also, the opportunity at South Carolina. And it was a late night for us last night. We had an opportunity to beat Miami on the last second shot. But Dave has just done a tremendous job and is just a great friend. I'll be remiss. Let me introduce my wife and daughter, Karen, if you'll stand.
Yes, Karen.
Karen Stokes. And the biggest East Carolina fan, my daughter, Sydney Stokes. Sydney, if you'll stand. And my brother, who made the trek down from Richmond, and if it wasn't for him getting a scholarship from Coach Holland, I don't know if I'd be here today, Bobby Stokes. Thanks. Well, I had the opportunity to travel here probably 10 years ago, and it was my first opportunity to come to Greenville, and I was pleasantly surprised. I had the opportunity to see the fans. I think it was a football game on television, and I was just enthused. I think to be able to sell a university, and I've been very fortunate to be pretty successful in recruiting, you have to have a great academic reputation, and I think we have that here. You have to have a great fan support, and I think we have that here. The Minji's Maniacs are fantastic, and I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to meet them, and I know we're on spring break, but you better believe that's the first thing, one of the first things that we're going to have an opportunity to do. The first and foremost is to meet the players on this team. And we had the opportunity to play East Carolina in a hard-fought game this past year over in Mobile, Alabama. And I was very impressed with them. And we got two young men on the current staff. If you'll please stand. I met them in the hallway, Corey and Jeremy Ingram. If you both guys will please stand. Tell you what, I'm excited about this future. Those two young men, I appreciate you coming. I know we're on spring break and you didn't have to do that, but that's a great start and says a lot about you guys. And I think anytime you take a program over, you need leadership. And I got to believe those two guys can be the leaders on next year's team. And I want to be successful. And I think all of us in this room want to be successful. And that's what we were talking about, winning Conference USA championships. And that's what we want to do and have the opportunity to do next year. And so the only way I know how to do that is hard work. And there's no substitute for it. To me, if you have the resources, which I know we do, if you have the support, which I know we do, the next thing is for us to be able to do it. The head coach is only as good as his assistant coaches. And I was very fortunate. This has happened so quickly. But in this profession, you do have a lot of friends. And a friend of mine, one of the friends that I was very fortunate to have a chance to speak with is Mac McCarthy. Mac, if you'll please stand. It's pretty funny. Mac and I talked a little bit about getting together at Virginia Tech, and maybe I regret it. Hopefully, we probably should have. But also, when I was looking at maybe joining VCU, and I didn't have the opportunity to do that, when Sonny Smith was going to leave, Mac took that situation. So our paths are almost kind of crossed. But I feel very confident and very fortunate that our paths were able to cross. We visited, we played in the SEC tournament down in Atlanta, and Mac was coaching women's at Georgia Tech. So we got a chance to visit a little bit in Atlanta and talk about maybe the possibility of joining one another if the opportunity presented itself. And Mac and I got together. Mac was visiting with Charles Barkley, who he coached at Auburn, and he said, well, I'm having a good time with Charles. Would you want to come over and visit with us? And I said, who doesn't want to come and hang out with Charles Barkley? So we got a chance to visit, and I tell you, Mac brings a wealth of experience, wealth of NCAA experience, and just a wealth of knowledge, just basketball knowledge, and he's also an excellent recruiter, and I think a guy who would fitting very, very well here at Greenville. So before I leave, I just have to say how excited I am for the opportunity. So excited to have an opportunity to work under Coach Holland. He's always been a friend. He's been a coach and a mentor. And as a young man, it just means a lot to have the opportunity to be able to work under him with his wife and be able to support you and have the type of program that I think you deserve and you want. So with that, I'm excited. I look forward to seeing everybody, having a chance to meet everybody, and I look forward to being a big part in the community and having a chance to visit with everyone individually. Coach said, any questions? I still listen to Coach, so no problem. Well, first of all, this is always a difficult time of the year for coaches. Coaches are always getting hired, let go, and this is a tough, tough profession. I have a lot of respect for Bill Herring. Bill is a good friend. An excellent coach, good person. The guys on his staff that I would like to have an opportunity to speak with. Stackhouse, I see in the audience. Dino, I haven't seen. Greg, Lee, I will have an opportunity to visit with them. So it's a, you know, I learned about the opportunity when the job opened. You know, naturally, Coach, I had an opportunity after the season to just let Coach Odom, Coach Holland know that I would have an interest, probably after your season, after the job opened, at the conclusion of your season. Naturally, we're still in postseason play. I got a call yesterday from Coach Holland indicating that they had some interest if I continued to still have interest. Naturally, I said I would. We had a game yesterday. We visited briefly before the game. He had somewhere to go last night, and after the game, he got a call, and I was excited. And he said, what time can you be there? I said, tonight. But he said, no, not that early. And we got a chance to drive up with my family this morning.
I'm Bethany Bradshaw, Irish Test Magazine. Tim Ferrell opened up by talking a little bit about the emphasis on academics and how important that was. Can you talk about your own background with parents who are educators and how you can incorporate that emphasis in your learning?
Great. And I didn't thank my mom and dad. Don't tell them, please. My mom and dad are just fantastic people. My dad was an educator. Both of them were in education. My dad, one of the great things, was a workaholic. I mean, that's one. I think one of the reasons my brother and I got involved in sports because we lived at the school. But it was also a time when you could paddle the kids. So that was always a motivation to get great grades also. So it was a big deterrent for us not doing well. But we just, they set such great examples. And I had a great role model in my brother, who was just a great student, and was able to graduate and go into med school. So it was easy for me. We're not going to bring any student athlete in here, prospective student athlete, that we don't feel that has a great chance to graduate. You know, we're going to, I know Mac and I, we've talked about this. We have the academic support system, and that's important. But I also think it behooves us to bring in young men that want to do well, that want to exceed. So we're going to have the vehicle for them to be able to do that. But I think the most important thing is having young men to want to do that, and you're going to have a coaching staff that's going to strive, and they're going to push them to graduate in 4 years. Because basketball is a little different than football. They're usually redshirt kids in their first year. So they have kind of the extra year to graduate. But basketball players are a little different, and we're going to give them their fifth year, but they kind of like to leave after 4 years. So we're going to make sure that they're on track. We're going to continue to monitor their academic progress, and we're going to set great role models for them to exceed academically.
Can you talk a little bit about what were your expectations? Did you think you were going to get another head coach? You don't, because nobody said it was a tough profession. You didn't have to win that.
Well, I'll tell you, it's I put a lot of faith in God. You know, a lot of times when you're down, you have faith, and a lot of times when you're up, you have faith. So, yeah, you just pray on it. You just work hard, and to me, good things happen to good people. And a lot of times you can't control things, but you just got to have a strong faith. And more importantly, that's what I was been able to lean on. And I'm sorry that I didn't, you know, say that earlier, but I have a strong faith, and God has been good to me all these years with family, with health. And all things don't work out all the time. But to me, if you have faith and you're doing the right things, and you can go to sleep at night, then you've done your best. And to me, that is all that you can do, is your best. And that's something that I've been fortunate with. And it doesn't, you know, you're not granted tomorrow, but you just do your best with what you've given and the time that you've given it with. So, but I fully expected to get another shot. I didn't know when, I didn't know how, but I was hoping and keeping my fingers crossed. And I think when you're not looking, that's when good things happen. And that's when I was fortunate to be, place myself in a great situation. And let me get a lot of credit, University of South Carolina. I didn't know much about University of South Carolina. I knew a lot about Dave Odom. But we had a great, great situation there. Dr. McGee, who's retiring, is another great athletic director. The fan support there, the rest of the coaching staff, Rick Duckett, Barry Sanderson, Bill O, they welcome myself, my family in with open arms. And it wasn't an easy transition, but they made it just as easy as it could be.
As far as filling out the rest of your staff, are you looking at any former teammates,
Well, I will definitely take any calls from anybody. Ralph Sampson has inquired. Naturally, it always helps having a big guy, especially in player development. I don't know about Ralph right now, but as far as any other players, I think Rick Carlisle is not available. I don't know if we have the budget for Rick Carlisle coach or not, but we'll work on that. You know, we're going to wait and see. Right now, we're going to, with Mac as our associate AD, associate basketball coach, we're going to just hold tight right now with Mac. And right now, Mac and I will be here ready to roll up our sleeves and get started. And we'll just hold tight and get started right now.
Is that your style of play similar to what you saw, or do you keep coming in there and changing the style of play?
Well, I think a lot depends on the type of players you have. I was impressed with the talent they have, and I would say we continue to need to upgrade our talent. One of the things when I was talking to Coach Holland about this job, I said, I don't think you'll find, talking about myself, a guy who knows more about the regions that you need to recruit than me. I said, you need to recruit North Carolina, being at Wake Forest. You're going to need to recruit Virginia, being a player at Virginia, being at Virginia Tech, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. I said, a guy who has the contacts and relationship of all of those states, I said, you can look all over, but I don't think you're going to come back and call me back, because you can't find a better guy who can find it. And one of the things also I'll say, I've been having the knack to find the players that not necessarily at the top of the list, top 50. And believe me, I try to get the top 50. That's, you know, one of the things I like to do, but I think there's a knack of finding a hidden gem, so to speak. And when I say a hidden gem, Coleman Collins, who's at Virginia Tech now, Carlos Dixon, Bryant Matthews led the Big East, second or third in scoring. When I was at Virginia, Chris Williams, who was the ACC Rookie of the Year, Robert O'Kelly, who's ACC Player of the Year at Wake Forest. So, you know, we're going to work hard. We're going to try to find the best fit for East Carolina, the best student athlete, the best person for East Carolina. But I'm going to tell you, I love this state. When I was at Wake Forest, we have the thing I like about student athletes and prospective basketball players, we have kids who love basketball. That's one thing I can say, and I've been in a lot of different states. I've been at University of Texas, I've been in South Carolina, Virginia. We have basketball players who love basketball. They grow up, and they put, I'm sure we still do it, we used to put TVs in the rooms doing ACC basketball tournament. So that is great. That is great, because kids play, kids watch, they learn, and there's a lot of talent in this state. So we just have to corral our share, and this is a big basketball state. So we got to get our share, and we got to get them playing hard, playing together, and we'll be all right.
As far as recruiting goes, a lot of people make the argument that East Carolina has a tough time recruiting because of the ACC being in the backyard, and the schools that you talked about, that you brought people in, they have been some of the premier basketball schools that have established traditions in basketball. How much of a factor do you put on that recruiting as far as bringing in the East Carolina?
Well, Virginia Tech and South Carolina doesn't have quite the tradition. I think one of the keys to recruiting is being yourself, relationships, and also having an opportunity to identify kids early. I think now the rules limit you to be able to go out as juniors, sophomores, identify, and be confident in your eye. I think that's one of the key things that you, even if, you know, he's not highly rated, you're confident that that kid can be a good player. And to have that kind of confidence, and I think we've got a lot of things to sell here. So we have enough to sell here. We have to do our job by building a great relationship, working hard. And one thing about this state that I often felt, you know, the Dukes and the North Carolina, they can go nationally. So they really don't comb the state as some of the other schools. So we got to make sure that we do our job, do our homework, to make sure we get our states in the eastern part of the state, I felt was always loaded, and not taking anything away from the western part of the state, but the majority of the players are the eastern, and I think the Charlotte is starting, the area is starting to come back around, and there's some players in the western part as well. So I think the key thing is to continue to work hard, identify kids, and just be yourself. And one of the great things, Mac has a lot of, if Mac want to come, Mac, you want to, why don't you come on up, you can feel some questions as well, but I'm doing well. I want a timeout. Is that all right? Timeout. Let me introduce Matt McCarthy.
Thank you. One thing Ricky and I talked about, and this is a truism in the profession, in our offices, over in the basketball offices, we win games, but championships are won in these guys' offices. And if that's the case, I feel pretty good.
Matt, you can take some credit. You can stand. Any questions? Yeah, I just hired the guy. I hired the guy. I want him to come back. Come on, back. Okay.
You touched on your expectations when you, about Virginia Tech, but is there anything that maybe you learned from your experience at Virginia Tech that will help you in this job?
You know what? I learned a lot. There's no excuse. There's no substitute for being a head coach, making that move from one step to the next. I think it's a very difficult transition. We played in Atlantic 10 our first year, and we had a winning record, but we were in the middle of the pack to not having a buffer year going directly into the Big East. So if I learned anything, going from one league to another league, being a higher league, not being at the top of one league, that's a big mountain to climb. And we tried to do it in stages. As Coach said, we brought in, I didn't want a quick flash in the pan program, doing it by junior college, and I don't have anything against junior college, but I wanted to do it with high school kids. So my second year, we brought in high school kids, Brian Matthews, Carlos Dixon, and we were playing my second year against Connecticut with, and to me, I often thought it was the equivalent of a ninth grade event versus a 12th grader. And if anybody played high school basketball and you played on JV, played against varsity, it wasn't always pretty. But you know what? By the time they're sophomore, we got a little better. And by the time they became their third year, which was my last year, we got a little better. Unfortunately, I didn't last. But, you know, I learned a lot. It was a great experience. I have a lot of great friends still at Virginia Tech. I welcome the opportunity, you know, and this is a profession that I understand, and changes are made. And I leave that to athletic directors and presidents. They do what's best for the university. We're here to help young men grow, develop, be young men, and help have an opportunity to win basketball games and represent you in the way that you want to be represented. Wow. I felt very fortunate. My brother had an opportunity to play for Coach, and I think my brother got the last scholarship. He was going to go to Randolph-Macon or Old Dominion. Which one? He was going to go to Division II school, Division III school, Randolph-Macon on a Friday. The coach was Paul Webb, and he said, well, I'll just come back on Monday. He said, I'll sign you on Monday. And on the Monday, I think Coach couldn't get a kid. What happened? A kid went somewhere, whatever. So he had an extra scholarship, and he gave it to my brother. And my brother averaged about 35 points a game. So he ended up getting the scholarship and played 116 straight games. So I got a chance to go to every home game. And, you know, it was just a neat, I was in high school, it was such a neat experience as a young man having the opportunity to see them play. If I know everybody in North Carolina, I mean, they were just a hard-nosed, tough group of guys. And I didn't know if I quite would measure up and would ever have a chance to play there. But they had won the NIT the year before, and luckily for me, they needed some more quickness. So they recruited two guys, Othell Wilson and myself. So we gave them a different dimension. But it was a great 4 years. I have a great respect, a great relationship. One of the great things I remember is playing hard, playing for your university, and playing for your coach. And to me, that's all I want for your young men. You don't want anything else. If you play hard, if you're playing for the jersey on the front of your, and you're playing for your coach, you can't ask for anything else. And I can honestly say he got us doing that. I mean, you know, and it was, you know, it helped having a big 7'4" guy 3 years, don't get me wrong. But the year after Ralph had, we had just had a group of guys who played hard, and I give Coach Holland a lot of credit. I mean, he instilled enough toughness, team play, and just a never quit attitude. And that's some of the attributes that he instills and I still carry today. But I have a great respect for him, have visited with him all throughout playing days. And the players that I play with still are a close-knit group, which is, I think, a great tribute to Coach Holland.
Coach, South Carolina's still involved in postseason play. Are you here today, or will you head back to Athens?
You know, that's a great question. We won last night, and a great game. We beat Miami. I visited with Coach this morning, and he said, let's play it by ear. Naturally, my first and foremost is East Carolina. I mean, he said, I wouldn't have to worry for, and I think, let me see if I can put this right. He said, I wouldn't have to worry about practice, but if I wanted to come back to the game, that I could. So I don't know. We have to visit with Coach and just see. And a lot depends. This is a contact period for us. So I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize what we're doing here and where we're headed and where we need to go. But I do have owe a lot to Coach Odom. I haven't had a chance to visit with the players. My family will go back tomorrow. They're going to leave me here with Mac, and they're going to go back because she has to go to school and also go to soccer practice. So if any good soccer coaches out in the community, we're looking for a soccer team as well. So, but it's still a little bit up in the air because I'm definitely going back to visit with the team. South Carolina plays the winner of Vegas and Arizona State. So, still to be determined.
You have been in several places that have been football schools, described as traditional football schools, and some would describe East Carolina the same way. Do you have an idea of how you elevate the basketball program, like in the community or whatnot, to that level?
Well, I tell you, I love football. I mean, I really do. I think football only enhances basketball. I've been in some great places, Texas, Virginia Tech, South Carolina. And let me tell you, the recruiting, and that's a vital, vital part of your basketball success. And I don't know of a better recruiting tool than to bring a young man into a football environment, football weekend, when you're tailgating, the place is packed, a great football environment, a great win. It makes our job so much easier. So I welcome. It's nice to be reunited with Skip again. Skip is a great guy. He'll do a great job. But I think football is only enhances basketball, and I've always thought there's no reason why both can't be successful, so they don't have to be apart. And I think baseball has done tremendous here. I think that helps women's basketball. Naturally, I love women's basketball. So I think all in all, we look forward to coexisting with other sports and having an opportunity to bring the men's basketball up to speed with the rest of the programs. Is that... Once again, thank you very much. It's a pleasure. Thank you for coming, and I look forward to seeing you very soon at a Pirate Club function, I'm sure.